Yes. Hello, my friends. It's the Robcast. It's episode 368. And this episode is called A Small Processing Fee, which is also sometimes a large processing fee or an extended processing fee or an exhausting processing fee that makes you wonder what just happened. And that just feels like the right, I'll let you fill in whatever words you want there, what kind of processing fee it is. But it, felt like the right episode to do this morning because it's a Tuesday morning and I am cooked. I'm exhausted in all the best sorts of ways. You know that feeling when you're like just whipped, but you're smiling? Yeah, because I came home yesterday from 8 days in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Not a sentence I ever thought I'd hear myself say out loud. I just had an experience. It was obviously I'm still processing it, and the experience was about processing, which is why I want to talk about it, because I've noticed how many people I've interacted with recently have the same sort of question that I found myself in. And so I'm gonna tell you what it was like, and you know, we'll see what you do with it. I was there in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I went last Sunday for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday were the tech rehearsals and then dress rehearsals. And then Thursday night was the premiere, the world premiere, of my play, We'll Get Back to You. And then there were performances Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so I lived for 8 days, 7 days in this. God, it's like the best kind of bubble everywhere. And those of you theater people, you're way ahead on this. You know exactly what I'm talking about. All these people coming together to make something. And they'd been working for a month rehearsing, the actors and Kristen, the director, and Kelly, stage manager, and all the, and Chelsea and the whole, and then lighting, projection, sound design, props, stage design, like a team of construction people who literally built the set. They'd been working for a month. And then I got to come in and see, it's like you turn over your words. It was like when I was there a month ago, handing, it's like for myself inside, it was like you energetically essentially hand over the play. And then I came back and got to see like where they'd taken it. And I'm telling you, that alone was astonishing, where what these actors did with the words and how when they took the words into themselves and then like become the characters, what they came up with. That alone was like, because writing is almost like 2D or 3D, but then someone takes the words and like puts flesh and blood on them and becomes the character, and then it's suddenly like 49D or 74D, like how much. Oh, my word. And then, Wednesday night, the final dress rehearsal, they had like 25-ish college students come watch the rehearsal. And then after the play, after the performance, then Kristen Hange, director, and I came out and sat with these college students, and they told us how they experienced the play. And I'm, that alone, it was like, that was even just the final dress rehearsal. And I was already like, this experience was, by the way, those of you who have a sort of like, where's the world headed? What's going to happen? If I were to say to you, well, what are college students in Iowa like? What do you have in your head? What do you think college students are like? Because these Iowa college students would say things like, I can see how the play is a very direct commentary on the failure of late stage capitalism. And I've seen this obviously with my own kids. I'm telling you, my friends, the software has been updated. There are so many subtleties and nuances that they picked up on that are just like obvious, just so obvious. For example, you cannot endlessly extract resources from a finite planet. You just, this whole system, the way it just keeps extracting, it can't be done. That this particular arrangement right now, it has like an end point. It goes off a cliff at some point. And you could see, or how many institutions that were set up to help humans thrive have actually created dehumanizing experiences for people. And like these students just are on to all that. They could just see it and so articulate and so like things that 20 years ago I was like, whoa, seemed so like new and fresh and like, wow. They're like, yeah, mm-hmm, of course. Which I've seen in my own kids, which I think is so fascinating is to see it. You just go someplace like Iowa and interact with these college students and you're like, oh yeah, yeah. When those folks are in charge, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the whole experience. And then opening night to sit in, I had my favorite seat in the back row so I could watch the people watch the play. It's like two shows for me, the show and then how people were responding to it. And I mean, I wrote the play 5 years ago, February of 2019. So over 5 years ago. And wrote it and rewrote it. And we did table reads. We did Zoom readings during pandemic. Did workshop readings in front of an audience last summer. Made more drafts. Made more updates. I mean, I've probably written 15, 20 drafts. And the essential structure pretty much stayed the same, but you can always find, the more you live with it, all these little ways to just tweak it and massage it and shape it. And then after that many years to sit there and the lights go down and then the music came up and then the stage lights came up and out the actors came, the first character that comes out, her name is Viva. And what an experience. And the reason why I'm telling you about that is one of the actors, Saffron, a couple nights in said to me, because, oh, this is a super fun part. I would go in the green room, where the actors are getting ready. And there's a wardrobe part where they're all putting on their outfits, like a curtained area. And then there's all of them just sitting around talking to each other and going over their lines. And I would go in, and I'm telling you, after years, like 30 years of speaking and tour and green rooms for me, like I walk into one and I get these butterflies like, ooh, about, but I wasn't doing anything. So I could go in and hang out with them, but I could have all of the fun of the performance without having to do anything. Oh, and just to watch them give themselves to the character and the performance. I mean, so inspiring. But one of the actors, Saffron, a couple nights in, she said, this is really fun. We're having a lot of fun watching you, which is, I was like, wait, what? I'm having fun watching you all. She's like, no, we're really having fun watching you process this whole thing, this experience. Because after each performance, there'd be like a break, and then I would come out with Kristen Henge, the director, and Caven, who runs Mirror Box Theater, would ask us a couple of questions, and then the audience would ask us questions as the director and the playwright. And I loved that part. And it was really, of course, as you're wondering, yes, there were people who just raised their hand and said, yeah, like I'm familiar with your books from like 20 years ago, and now I'm watching this play. What? What a ride. But when Saffron said, yeah, it's really fun watching you process this, I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, because I was exhausted from what felt to me like not doing anything. Like I was watching them do this hour and 40-minute show every night. And this is what I want to try and name because of how many of you I've interacted with who have I realize now were asking questions about this. Because I had this lovely plan, because I'm writing a book right now, that I would, oh, this will be so great. I'll be in my hotel room. I'll wake up, do a little workout, and then I'll be able to write all day. And then I'll go into the theater in the later part of the day for notes and tweaks and a little bit of rehearsal. And then the show and then the talk back afterwards. And then we would go out each night. And I had this like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to do so much writing and then I'm going to sort of take in the whole experience with the play. But I would, I was cooked. And I'd be sitting there after the show, like wow, this is, I feel like I was out there, but I wasn't. It was a very strange feeling. But when she said, yeah, you're like intuitively processing all of this. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, after the play, when you went out there and people asked you questions, they were asking questions of the playwright. That's new for you. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And it was like the experience demanded a level of processing. Like it demanded, or it was inviting me to savor it. Yeah, yeah. Like working for something, towards something for 5 or 6 years, and then having it happen. I was literally adjusting to, and here's what's really interesting to me, adjusting to the goodness of it. Yeah. So there was like the learning curve where I am watching the actors, I'm watching Kelly, the stage manager, and Chelsea, who are holding the whole thing together, like the glue. They're off stage, but they're like the glue of the whole thing. I'm watching Kristen Hange, director, and the notes she's giving and how she's working with the actors each night. Let's try it this way. Let's try it that way, just so we know how it works that way. I'm watching the process of the props and Michael, the stage designer, and how he's just adding little things and taking away little things on the set itself. So like there's a learning curve, which was extensive enough, but also an adjustment to almost like a surreal altered state. This is happening. This is happening. Yeah, that's why... Have I done my rant before on the Robcast about get rid of your dreams? I'm telling you, just get rid of your dreams. That's just a waste of time. Don't have dreams. Make plans. Like the thing, dreams can be a way to not ever do anything because they remain out of reach. A dream is like a fog. It's like a membrane between this dream and the reality of your life at the moment. But you just move to plans and steps. Steps are so much better than dreams. Because there's always a next step that can be taken, always. We always have everything we need to take the next step. And what that does is that, like, pokes, it bursts the bubble of a dream and turns it into, yeah, we're taking steps towards that. Yeah, little ones. Mm-hmm. But this adjusting, absorbing... And there's a word that I often find myself using in the 2 days when I'm sitting with people, imprinting. It's when you discover or when you find yourself in an experience and it is showing you something of the goodness of being you, how good it is to be here. It's easy to point out all the ways this thing is broken and difficult, but the essential underlying goodness of being here. There are moments, and it's so simple and straightforward, and it also can seem incredibly elusive. There are moments when we encounter, as the great poet Rilke said, it is to be here is glorious. That's kind of a paraphrase, but I like it. I would describe imprinting as when your soul takes a picture of a feeling, sensation, thought, perception. Generally, it's in the body. You previously had been separated from that aspect of the goodness of being here, that dimension, and suddenly you see it. You see how beautiful it can be. Oftentimes, it's in pain and ache. Oftentimes, it's in the things that are breaking our hearts that we also become, we become aware that there is an I am, an essential self, within which this is happening, and that essential self is essentially indestructible. And that's what frees us to grieve and weep and be in pain, is because it is not ultimate. Yeah. Yeah. And I would find myself, because I like to get things done. I'd wake up and be like, I have no, I'm ready to type. I'm ready to create. And I'd be like, nope, I guess we're going to sit here in a chair, an uncomfortable chair, in a hotel in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and adjust to the goodness of this experience. Yeah, we'll just let it imprint. Almost like a, this is happening. It's almost like a very slow narrator who just takes you by the hand and goes, yes, this is happening. Mm-hmm. It's happening to you right now in space and time. Here's how I would say it. Grief, we all talk about, yeah, grief is a process and grief is the response to loss and grief has to, yeah, grief is a process. You need space. You need to, when we'll say like, oh, ungrieved grief. Yeah, good also requires some. It's like the flip side of grief. And that was when, in one of my walks from the hotel to the theater, it was like, oh, we understand grief as a process, but good, new good is also a process. Grief requires an adjustment, an imprinting, an absorbing. Grief requires time to settle in to the new reality. So does good. So does gain. So does something happening and the sheer, unfiltered, unadulterated goodness of it. That also has a small processing fee. And I noticed over the course of the week that if I did nothing, it's like I could feel my body going, oh, this is now what we do. Oh, interesting. Yeah, this is now how it is. Interesting. Yeah, and then I began, I kept having people that I know pop up and people I've interacted, you people that I've interacted with, who I would be sitting across from you or hearing from you. And what you were articulating was, oh, the modern narratives we were handed about the grind, about the slog, for so many people, the conditioning and programming was, if you aren't struggling, you probably aren't doing it right. Or if there was ease and flow, it instantly, like, what's wrong? Obviously, the other shoe's going to drop. Sound familiar? If you are experiencing great peace, that itself could create an anxiety. Like, obviously, I'm obviously missing something or I'm not being true to something because this is just, it's almost like I'm able actually to be me, so I'm instantly suspicious. And I've noticed how many people picked up along the way that this thing is supposed to be complicated. All of these stories and narratives and framing that we were given just by the sheer nature of the system around us, that if you aren't, if it doesn't feel uphill, then you aren't legit, then you probably aren't, you know, you're probably not in the right game. But then you realize that those are stories. And you can see this across the board, how many people are realizing those are all stories. The person who's like, yeah, you just got to grind. You just got to go 80 hours a week. You just got to, that's the only way to get. And then you grow up essentially and realize those are all just stories. They're as much ego clingings and attachments and assumptions as they are reality. And reality itself, when you come to see that reality itself is shaped by your perception, then you can spot the stories that people are like, no, this is just reality. Well, we are creating the reality as we experience it. So the whole thing is actually way more up for grabs. Creation itself is far more malleable than any of us first realized. So those are stories. And that's what I've seen in so many of you. This real, oh, that's a story. That's a story. I've noticed, then you start waking up to that's a story, and I could swap it out for a better story. Even the idea of, well, this is what it takes to be productive. How many people are shifting to learning to take really good care of themselves, and suddenly they're way more productive back when they were talking about be productive all the time. That somehow surrendering productivity and letting it be trumped by health. And then when you're moving in a much more grounded, centered, your tank is actually full, then in way less time, way more somehow gets done in a very mysterious way. Yeah, there are other ways to move in the world than having your starting point be that it's all up to me to muster it all up in my energies. There are larger energies we can move and flow with. We can sit in silence and stillness and wait. And we can wait and then join that which already is, and it has its own life force. We're participating in something far larger. We're moving with energies and forces much larger than us. And that can sound super double woo, but it's not. It's proper woo. That's what so many people are noticing now. Yeah. Yeah. And when we have these experiences where we drop so many of those old stories about it has to be struggle. By the way, a friend of mine, Stephen, makes this wonderful distinction. He says, not struggle. He says, but effort. Yeah, it may require great effort. He's like, that's different than struggle. Yeah, try that one out. Take that one for a walk around the block. And often what happens when we move into better framing, better stories, is there's this, like, what's wrong with me? I'm exhausted. Yeah. Yeah. Transformation can be really tiring. Yeah. Adjusting to your own expansion. Perhaps you in a particular area used to have a very strong, there's this over here and this over here, and you have to pick one. And then you move to a much more expansive understanding that those two parts actually exist within a whole, and we draw on whatever we need whenever we need it. And so you have this expanded feeling, like the old binary duality, you've moved into some greater understanding of whatever it is. And so what used to be two things at war within you, for instance, just simply you can be very happy and very sad at the same exact time. And those two used to be like, well, you're either happy or sad. It was either a good day or a bad day. It's either going well or it's not. It's either success or failure. And when you move to all of this is happening within us at the same time, well, that required an expansion. Or even for many people, gratitude exists in opposition to restlessness. When gratitude and restlessness can sit side by side, we can be 1,000% grateful for our life as it is. And also, we got us some ideas. We're making some plans. We're taking some steps. We're moving into more. Yeah, we'd like to do something else. Doesn't mean you're not grateful for this. It's just time for something else. And when we do move into those larger expansive understandings, and when the consciousness does widen, yeah, that can often, yeah, then there's like an adjustment. Yeah, yeah, growth or new understanding might leave you fairly tired. If you find that you need less stimulation, this is what I notice. If you find that you need less stimulation, like suddenly you're like, yeah, I can actually just go sit in the backyard. You're not listening to stuff when you're in your car. Your headphones are in less. You're like, I think I'm just going to go for a walk. And you're like, what is that about? It's almost like you don't want anything more stimulus coming in. Yeah, it's because you already got enough. And your software is upgrading. Your system is needing to adjust. Yeah, your soul is like got stretched out. And so it's like, yeah, that's a pretty solid workout because of good. Yeah, because you moved away from one of those complicated stories to, oh, it's actually there's a simplicity and elegance to this experience that no one ever told me about. This is quite nice. Or especially if you move into a space where you're leaving behind anytime it's good, obviously the shoe's about to drop. And it's just, yeah, it's good. Yeah. Yeah. This is a whole new way to move in the world. And I'm telling you, 8 days in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, in a new space with a steep extraordinary learning curve about this particular kind of art making and watching these people and what they're doing up close and interacting with people who'd just seen the play and the goodness of it. Yeah, it took like, I'm exhausted. There will be a small processing fee. Yeah, so for perhaps you are somebody very acquainted with that, with grief, death, loss. You understand all that about process. Yeah, it takes a while. Mm-hmm. And this episode is simply, yeah, good also can sometimes take a while. Yeah, and you have to just keep repeating it. Wow, this is actually happening. Wow, we actually did this. Wow, this is how it turned out. Amazing. And sometimes you have to say it, like, over and over. It's like you have to just keep speaking it because it's the new reality. And yeah, it's all part of it. Mm-hmm. It's all part of it. Yeah, no, it was actually good to watch the show and then watch the show the next night and then watch the show the next night. And they would do another talk back and interact with people and listen to their questions about it. And yeah, it was like it helped to sort of, adjust, savor. Yeah, absorb, imprint, yeah. So you, give yourself what you need. And you may have a strange feeling like, wow, I need a bunch of space and I need less stimulation. I need to take a weekend. I need to take a half day. I need to rest here. And you're like, from what? Good? What? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. From all that you've learned? Yep. From the transformation? Yep. From the new understanding, yep. From the realization that there's a better way to think about it and a better story to be telling and a, yep, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That might leave you cooked. That might leave you just whipped. I need a nap because this thing is better than it's ever been. Yeah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yep, yep, yep. There may be a small or large or extended or counterintuitive processing fee, and apparently that's all part of it. Yeah. Well, that's a few thoughts, my friends, on a cooked Tuesday morning. And then this Saturday, I'll be in Pomona for the first spaceship session, part art show, part book signing, club, hang. Bring yourself. Bring questions about your life. Let's see where it goes. And then the following weekend will be Costa Mesa. And the following weekend on Saturday, I'll be out in a street parkway in San Luis Obispo. And a friend of mine just called me and he was like, I have a friend in San Luis Obispo and went and found where you're going to be. And he's like, it literally is like in a parkway in the middle of like the street going two different directions. This big, he's like, is it really just going to be out there? It's like, yeah, mm-hmm. We'll try stuff. See what happens. Drive around Southern California with art and books in my car and meet some of you. And we'll see, you know, we'll learn all kinds of things. So from Iowa to spaceship sessions, but from here in the corner of the garage, peace and love.